you heard this during the top of the hour news. Terrible attack on a young woman from the Shoreline area. Diana Hansen, 24 years old, went to Western Washington University, wanted to work with big cats at a zoo, had this internship at a wild animal sanctuary in California. She was fatally mauled by a lion. It's not clear what she was doing in the enclosure and why she was there in the enclosure alone. ABC News speaking to her aggrieved father, Paul, about the fatal attack.
I've always had a premonition that I would get a call like this someday. When I'd go out and visit her in Bellingham when she was in college and she'd go inside the cages, it would just terrify me that she'd do that. It'd scare me and her mother, too. I always, in the back of my mind, I had this feeling this could happen someday. Anybody who works with cats know that they are wild animals and they can turn, even on people that are closest to them. So I always had this horrible nagging premonition that I'd get a call like this someday, sometime.
And unfortunately, that call came yesterday. Her father says that her death is confusing because she wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, she ever got inside the cage, and why she would be inside the cage, because I thought she made it real clear that they don't let anybody in the cage except the owner.
Here's a few more specifics. These come courtesy of ABC's Cecilia Vega.
Something caused this lion to snap and turn on this intern. Her family tells me she was so new to the job, she wasn't even supposed to be inside the cage.
This morning, a team of investigators is trying to figure out what made the lion turn on Diana Hansen in this wild animal park near Fresno Wednesday.
The lion has been taken care of.
Police say the attack began around 12:30. The 24-year-old intern, who had just 2 months on the job at Cat Haven, was inside an enclosure with this 4-year-old African lion named Couscous. Another park worker frantically tried to distract the cat as it mauled Hansen, but nothing worked. Less than 30 minutes after Hansen had entered the cage, sheriff's deputies arrived and began firing, hoping to reach her. It was too late.
Here is part of what law enforcement learned after they rushed to the lion sanctuary.
Later today, state wildlife officials will do a necropsy on Couscous, trying to determine what may have caused the attack.
This is a situation where you had somebody was too close to a lion.
Now, Diana Hansen was working in this park as a step to move toward a job at a bigger zoo. Her family tells me that she'd been fascinated by big cats all of her life. This was a dream job for her, George, and now, sadly, it has a tragic ending.
And a very avoidable ending, according to the legendary zoologist from the Columbus Zoo, Jack Hanna, who spoke to ABC's Good Morning America.
Is it her boyfriend or someone was there? Now, you and I both know that sometimes we do things at times when we're trying not to impress somebody, but show somebody what we can do. And I think as they look into this, as I said last night when I heard this, it makes no sense because this facility has been approved. It's a very fine facility from what I've heard. I've not been there. But no one can go in with a large cat like that. My understanding is their protocol to have two or three people in there, and they do feed the cat in a different enclosure. So why would you get the key and go in there? Some people, George, have a fascination, especially with big cats, lions especially being the king of beasts, a magnificent animal. Who knows what her thoughts were at that time? Maybe no one will know.
But just
maybe the only one might know might be the boyfriend.
Just to be absolutely clear, Jack, this was clearly against the rules and the protocols of this facility.
Exactly. And her father, according to a statement of the LA Times, said she was totally fearless of the animals. This, George, is where you have a train wreck. When we film in the wild, the cats or wherever we work with them, we have a comfort zone of the animal, as you know from Good Morning America, comfort zone of the animal and comfort zone of us, especially to a large animal like this. And when those comfort zones are crossed, George, there's a train wreck. Obviously, the comfort zone of this lion was crossed, and at that point, a lion did what he has to do. What set it off? I don't know. These are wild animals. And these things happen. We have tens of thousands of animals in zoos, and these accidents happen. They're very rare, but this is a tragedy, obviously, for the family and for the owner of that facility.
Bottom line, are these sanctuaries worth the risk?
Yes, George, they're worth the risk because right now We probably have more lions and tigers in this country in backyards, so to speak. I'm not talking about those that are reputable breeds. I'm talking about just in backyards for pets and that type of thing than we have probably in all the zoos in the country put together. They are still there, George. We have to have these good sanctuaries to help us, because in the zoo world, we can't take all these cats because of breeding programs. So someone has to do this until, like the Ohio law, as you know, we passed the most stringent law mm-hmm. in the country, the Ohio Governor Kasich did recently, where we won't have this. We had 200 tigers, George, in backyards when this all happened last year. And now those 200 tigers will not be there anymore in about another few months if those people don't make the correct regulations. And now we have to have sanctuaries to put these cats in if we have to take them.
Okay. I'll tell you what my gut is telling me. My gut is telling me that you have a young person here who loved wild animals and somehow lost her respect, not of the animal, but of the fact that they're wild. That she saw them every day. She probably thought that she was establishing some rapport with these big cats. That, you know, there was a comfort level that, you know, she felt increasingly comfortable with the animal. And she assumed that they were feeling the same way. And, you know, to show how the barriers between man and beast had broken down, she goes in, breaks the rules, breaks protocol. Again, this is just a gut feeling on my part. And the worst thing imaginable happens. It's the kind of thing that a younger and not arrogant, but overly idealistic young person will make, where, oh, that's okay, you know, I've gotten to know these animals, and, you know, you have to be trained and you have to really have a sense of how these animals think, and luckily I've developed that over the years, and God knows I love them, and so, you know, here is how you handle an animal like that. She lost her sense that she was dealing with, after all, wild animals. You might remember, Phil, this guy who went up to Alaska. This goes back about 10 years.
The guy that wanted to live
with
the bears?
The grizzlies.
Yeah, the bears.
And he was convinced that he had, unlike any other man, mm-hmm. you know, he had established a sense of rapport.
He had a kinship.
A kinship
with the animals, huh?
That he had gone... He had gone that extra step where no one had been before, where he was now actually, he actually was part of their world.
He thought he was Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He had a kinship with the animals, huh?
And, you know, he just lost that fundamental sense of, you know, respecting the fact that they are wild. Mm-hmm. And by that, I don't mean you're fearful. I mean, you respect the fact that they're wild and they can turn on you on a dime. These animals are not tame. For heaven's sakes, I know people who have pet dogs that they thought were tame, and every once in a while the dog will turn on them. But we're talking about animals that are deliberately designed not to be tame. That's mm-hmm. why they're in sanctuaries where they can remain wild.
Yeah. I've developed an affinity for surfing here late in my life, and you occasionally hear about this from
couch surfing.
Yeah, that too. But the like a so-called rogue wave or something.
Where do
like
you
that.
Where do you surf in the Puget Sound area?
Oh, you don't have to surf here, but trips
you,
to
you
trips
really go
to California.
Down to Southwest Washington? And...
I've gone out to Ocean Shores,
okay.
But down to Cannon Beach. But I've gone to California and then a lot in Hawaii. Great. But that
pretty
idea that
auditioning for the Beach Boys,
you have to respect Mother Nature.
Yeah,
and if that, you know, if you're out at the water, at the beach, at the ocean, same thing goes. Standing near the water on the beach, in the water playing. If you're going to be surfing, if you're going to be kayaking, stuff like that, and you know all too well, hiking as well, you know, it's the same thing. You have to respect Mother Nature. And there seems to be maybe a possible lack of that from what we're finding out about this California story.
Well, and again, I don't chalk it up to her being you know, arrogant or dismissive of the threat. I think she was just so overly idealistic about the relationship that she had built up with these animals that she just didn't feel that healthy sense of skepticism and healthy respect for the fact that these animals are not only wild, but they're supposed to remain wild.
Well, we've got a guy on the line who has stood next to a 700-pound tiger. Oh, you're going to go get him in
now? Let's talk to him real quickly. Yeah. Steve Issaquah, go for it.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've been to a couple of different places. There's a place in Spokane called Cattails that works in conjunction with Washington State. Similar kind of thing, I think, where they allow the kids to come over and help out with the animals, help feed them and clean up their pens and stuff like that. And you can get over that place, you can get pretty close to them, too. I mean, you're within 5 feet. They're in, 15-foot chain link enclosures. But you can get closer than you can at Woodland Park Zoo, that's for sure. And it just gives you a different feel for the animal when you're that close to them. I also went to a place down in Southern California when I lived down there called Shambhala, and that's run by Melanie Griffith's mom, Tippi Hedren, who was mentioned in one of the articles I read about this incident. And down there, same thing, all these enclosures with lions and tigers, and she's got elephants and some exotic reptiles. But at the end of the tour, if you wanted to, you could go stand next to this retired actor. His name was Kirby. And he was a 700-pound combination Siberian and a Sumatran tiger. And he was huge. I was telling Phil that standing next to him, I looked at both of my legs, and I looked at his front foot and his front leg, and both of my legs put together was the size of one of his legs.
Whoa.
And when you're doing that, and you're standing there and you're petting this animal and it's as big as it is, it's very humbling. But at the same time, I can understand where this girl would develop this affinity and drop her guard, so to speak. Because you're taught, when you go to these places, they teach you how to greet these animals. And a lot of
I would argue that there is a difference here, that it sounds like you were petting that 700-pound tiger was man, that sounds big for a tiger. That it was a pet. It was a tamed animal. That it wasn't out in the wild. That it wasn't in a sanctuary. Do I have that right?
Well, that's what happens a lot of times at these sanctuaries. I mean, when we went to this place in Southern California, they had just gotten two tigers, that a guy was trying to sell out of the back of his convertible BMW down at Fashion Island in Newport Beach. So that's how they get a lot of these animals, is that people start out as pets with the lions and the tigers and bears and stuff like that. And then as soon as, they're awesome when they're little and they're cubs and stuff. But as soon as that tiger's old enough and big enough and it's eaten, 20, 30 pounds of meat every day, and it's grown to 200 pounds and it's tearing up everything in the house and the backyard.
Yeah, all of a sudden it kind of loses their charm, doesn't it?
Right.
And the charm wears off. I appreciate the call. It's 19 minutes after 7 o'clock here. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.